Vach, everybody, Shavua Tov. We all know one of the central mitzvahs of the Torah is Kibud Av V'Em. It's one of the Aseres HaDibros. It was actually given to Klal Yisrael prior to Matan Torah in a place called Mara, where Bnei Yisrael began to get acquainted with certain mitzvos. Perhaps they were already commanded in Mara in these various mitzvos. Included in those mitzvos is Kibud Av V'Em according to Chazal. Kasher Tzimcha, Hashem Elokecha, as Hashem had already previously commanded you. We don't find that Kibud Av V'Em is listed among the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. When the Gemara discusses in Sanhedrin what are the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, we know what they are, and it doesn't include Kibud Av V'Em. And yet, the theme of Kibud Av V'Em features prominently throughout Sefer Bereishis. We're all familiar with the story in Parshas Noach and the aftermath of the Mabul, when Noach plants a vineyard and he becomes drunk. He's lying in his tent in a degraded state, and his son Ham takes advantage of his father's vulnerability, and we know what happens to Ham and his progeny. When Noach wakes up, he issues a curse, Oru Kenan, Eved Avodim Yere Echov. Shem and Yefes, on the other hand, do the right thing. They preserve their father's dignity, Vayechasu Eis Evas Avihem, and they are rewarded again, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, Yaft Elokim Liyefes. In yesterday's parsha, thank you. In yesterday's parsha, Chayisara, Eliezer Eved Avram relates the miraculous chain of events that led him to Rivka. He turns to the family of Rivka and he asks if they would approve the shidduch, which they immediately do. The pasuk tells us, "Vayan Lavan uvesuel, vayomru me'Hashem yatsa adavar." As Rashi notes, Lavan was a rasha and he spoke in front of his father. Implicitly, the Torah is critiquing Lavan for his lack of sensitivity of kibud av v'em. By contrast, next week's parsha's Toldos, we see how conscientious Esav was in showing respect to Yitzchak. Chazal hold up Esav as an extraordinary model of Kibud Av V'Em. If you look at your first source, the Medrash Rabbah. I don't know if this is actually not on, but you have to put it on your... I don't know. Looks like I didn't. I wish you put it on, but I don't know. Okay. If you look in Parshas Toldos in the Medrash Rabbah, the Medrash holds up Esav as a model of Kibud Av V'Em. Amar of Shimon Gamliel, Kol Yamai Hayisi Mishamesh Es Abba, Velo Shimashti Oso Echad Mimeya Sheshimesh Esav Es Aviv. All of my Kibud Av V'Em is a fraction of that Kibud Av V'Em that Esav showed his father. When I would show some respect to my father and serve him, so I would wear whatever I wore, begadim luchlachim, and when I would go out to work, then I would wear the nice clothing. Esav was the other way around. When he would serve his father, he would wear big day malchus. It's interesting that Yaakov Avinu is actually faulted in some way for not having shown respect to his parents for the number of years that he was away. He was actually punished. He paid a price for this. Chazal tell us, quoted by Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev, Vayis'agel al b'no yomim rabin, that Yosef was separated from his father Yaakov for 22 years, as we know. Yosef was 30 when he rose to power. Another 9 years later, Yaakov and family come down to Mitzrayim. He was 17 when he was sold, so from 17 to 39 is 22 years. Yaakov lost out on Yosef's company for 22 years because he was separated from his parents for 22 years. 20 years when he was in Laban's house, 14 years for working for Rachel Leah, an additional 6 years with the sheep, and 2 years on the road. Rashi explains here that this is poetic, is a certain sense of mida keneged mida, since Yaakov lo kiyem Yaakov kibud av v'em for the 22 years. Chazal also tell us parenthetically that even though there were an additional 14 years that Yaakov Avinu was also away, he was learning Torah in the Beis Medrash of Eiver, but for that he wasn't punished. Gadol Talmud Torah Yosef Mikibud Avaim. So, what do we make of the fact that there is apparently some critique of Yaakov for not having fulfilled Kibud Avaim? We look at Esav, we look at the principle of Kibud Avaim as something which is very valuable, even for Bnei Noach, to the extent that Yaakov Avinu is punished. And yet we don't find Kibud Avaim is actually listed among the formal mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. So I'd like to explore together the implications of this mitzvah for Bnei Noach and also for Gerim. As we know, a Ger is not considered to be halachically related to his parents. Gershin is Gayer, Kikatan Shinola Adami. What is the nature of the mitzvah Kibud Avaim for Bnei Noach and for a Ger? So, on one level, if you look at various Gemaras, let's look at three sources in particular, it seems pretty clear from Chazal that you don't command Bnei Noach in the mitzvah Kibud Avaim. It's not something that they called mitzvah v'osa. For example, you have source number three. This is also highlighting a particular Bnei Noach and how extraordinary he was in Kibud Avaim, the famous story of Doma ben Nesina. The Gemara tells us about him. The Chazal, various Chachamim, wanted to purchase from him the certain gems, certain stones, and they were under the father's key, where to the chest where they were was under the father's pillow. He did not want to wake up his father. You have other stories. We have the reward that he got. Paraduma was born among his flocks, and he did not take any more money than what he was offered the previous year. And the Gemara concludes by saying, Amrav Chanina, the end of source 3, Ma mish ena mitzuvah v'osakach, mitzuvah osachas kam v'kama. Here's an individual who was richly rewarded for doing something which he wasn't commanded to do. Certainly, someone who's commanded will get even more schar, because we know Gadol mitzuvah v'osah, Mimish ena mitzvah osa. So this clear sense of this Gemara is that a Ben Noach is not commanded in Kibud Avaim. He gets schar like ena mitzvah v'osah. Source number four. The Gemara talks about, we mentioned earlier, that there were mitzvahs that were given in Mara, just after Kriyas Yamsuf. There were 10 mitzvahs in total. How do you get to 10? Well, there were 7 mitzvahs Bnei Noach that they heard again in Mara. An additional 3 on top of that. Hosifu Alehen. They added on that Dinim. Dinim means many of the laws that we find in Parshas Mishpatim. So Kar Yisrael were given that in Mara. The Shabbos. They were given the mitzvah of Shabbos already in Mara. And Kibud Avaim. How do we know these various 3 mitzvos? Dinim dechsev sham sham lo choku mishpat. So that suggests that we're talking about dinim, choku mishpat. Shabbos v'kibud avaim dechsev. It says in Parshas Veschanan by the Aseres Adibros over there, kasher tzivcha Hashem alokecha. It says shomras yom Shabbos v'kadosho, kasher tzivcha Hashem alokecha. It also says kabedes avicha v'esinecha, kasher tzivcha Hashem alokecha. We interpret kasher tzivcha as I've already previously commanded you way back in Mara. So it suggests here that the Shevet Bnei Noach are distinct from the additional mitzvos that they got in Mara, including Dinim and Shabbos and Kibbutz Avaim. Now you'll ask me, Dinim are also part of Shevet Bnei Noach. So seemingly, what did they get that they didn't have already? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin actually works out details of Dinim that went beyond the Dinim of Bnei Noach, and therefore there was something additional that they got in terms of the mitzvah of dinim. So here you have Kibud Avaim, which would have to be something that they didn't have yet, which would again suggest that Bnei Noach are not commanded in Kibud Avaim. That's a second source. Third source is a Gemara in Nazir. The Mishnah tells us there that kusim en lehem nazirus. The halacha of Nazirus, for a person to become a Nazir, be bound by the laws of a Nazir, would not apply to a non-Jew. The Gemara wants to know how we know that a Kusi is not subject to the halachas of Nazirus. The Nohani Mili, the Tanu Rabbanan, Daber El Bnei Yisrael, talks about Nazirus, the Lo of the Kochavim. So it comes to exclude a non-Jew. So the Gemara asks, the Kohecha Dechsiv Yisrael Odi Kochavim. Oh, just because it says in B'nai Yisrael, does that mean a non-Jew would not have these laws? The Hagabi Erechin, it says also by the laws of Erechin, when a person is going to assess a person's value, depending on their age and their gender, he has to pledge a particular amount of money, a fixed amount, to the Beis HaMikdash. It says Dabel B'nai Yisrael, and we say that a person can even do that with regard to a non-Jew and say this person's erech would be pledged to Beis HaMikdash. So we learn it out from Ish. So you see it says B'nai Yisrael and even includes B'nai Noach as well, to the extent that you can do, you can pledge, so to speak, a value of a Ben Noach. And the Gemara answers because it's different by Nazirus, because it says also by a Nazir, lo'aviv lo'ima lo yitama. One of the laws of a Nazir is that he cannot defile himself to his father or mother. So we darshin the Misha Yeshlo Av. It only refers to a halacha, somebody who has a father. So a non-Jew is not considered to be biologically, halachically related to the father. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Does that mean that he doesn't yashin his father? But we have a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, a non-Jew actually does yashin his father. So what do you mean, Misha ain't lo av? So the Gemara qualifies that and says, Ella b'misha musar al kibur aviv. In other words, only halacha of nazir applies to somebody who would have a mitzvah of kibur av. L'aviv l'ima lo yitama, and therefore a ben noach who doesn't have the mitzvah of kibur av, so doesn't have the halacha of nazirus. The Gemara asks on this particular point, on this particular drasha, and says a different drasha, but the premise is clear that there is no tzivoy of kibud avim regarding Eben Noach. So we have three Gemaros that seem to indicate that there is no formal mitzvah of kibud avim regarding Eben Noach. And here we have a very interesting halacha in the Rambam. The Rambam's halacha deals with a ger, but has implications for Eben Noach as well. The Rambam paskins in Hilchas Mamrim, Hager Osur Lekalel Aviv Ha'akum Ulakosa. A ger is not allowed to curse or to strike, to hit physically his non-Jewish father, Velo Yevazehu, nor should he disparage him. Should not do something which is disrespectful, which is obviously a bizayon. The reason being, the Rambam offers a rationale. Kidei shelo yomu, so that people not say, ba'u mikidusha chamura l'kidusha kala. They went from a high standard of kedusha when they were not yet a ger, they were non-Jewish, and now they go to a low level kedusha. That's not appropriate, that's not a good sense, and not a good perception, that you become Jewish and you become more lax. What does the Rambam mean by quoting this rationale? What is the source for this idea? And the Rambam concludes, interestingly, with another couple of words, noeg bo mixas kavod. That's how many Gersos have it. He does show some measure of kavod. There's a number of things in this Rambam that are ambiguous. Exactly what is the source of the halacha, as we noted? What is the mixas kavod that he refers to? He says he should show mixas kavod. So the Mepharshim all try to understand this Rambam, but let's notice the following as well. In the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, there's something different that doesn't appear in the Rambam, or vice versa, something the Rambam mentions that they do not mention. The Tur quotes the halacha, ger asul kalav banachri lakosa voy vazeyu, and so on. But then he says, ve'eino noig bo min hakavod. He doesn't show protocol of kavod. In the Shulchan, that's in the Tur. In other words, if a person as a Jew is mevazeh his biological father, that would go again the feeling that you have to maintain standards when you become Jewish, and here your standards became lowered, because as a non-Jew it would seem that you do not show disrespect to your father. And now you become Jewish and you're mevazeh the father. And that is mentioned by the Tur as well. What is interesting is the Tur says further, v'eino noeg bo min hakavod.
That's not connected to the previous clause?
No, comma. In the Shulchan Aruch, you find something else. Ger also kal aviv avikachadim lakosav loy vazeyu shelo yomru, and so on. And you don't have anything mentioned about knowing about mikvah kavod at all. So the Kesef Mishnah, just skip for a second, source 9, the Kesef Mishnah in source 10 tells us that the marker for the Rambam is a Gemara in Yevamos, in the second perek. And the Rambam paskins this Gemara as well in Hichlos Yisui Bia, which we'll see. The Gemara makes reference to this idea that Lo Yomru Baru Mikdusha Chamura Le Kedusha Kala. People shouldn't say you went from a higher standard of Kedusha to a lower standard of Kedusha. What is the context of the Gemara? So look in source 11. The question was, Gazu Shnios Begeirim Olo, Gazu Shnios Begeirim. Shnios are additional arayos, additional relationships that the Torah did not prohibit. For example, the Torah says Imo is Aser. What about Aim Imo, grandmother? There are a whole list of Shnios arayos that the Chacham said one is also Aser in, even though the Torah did not forbid it. So what about a Ger? So the Gemara goes on and says that really there's no problem. Why is that? Because hashta uma erva gufa, the arayas that the Torah forbade, ilav shelo yomru bana mikdusha chamura mikdusha kala lo gazavu rabbanan, were not for the fact that people should not say that this individual came from a higher standard kedusha, because there is isur of gilui arayas for a ben Noach. Now he becomes Jewish, and now suddenly he becomes permitted in people that he was usher in before. So if not for that, they would not have forbade even the regular arayas for a ben Noach. And therefore, shnios mibayi, you're going to start putting on them the isser of shnios. So that is the Gemara's context of this idea, that if something is usher for ben Noach, as a ben Noach, you're not going to take that isser away when it comes to his becoming Jewish. Midrabanan, we maintain the same standard. So the Rama paskins this as well, and Rashi explains it on that Gemara. Rashi says, "Obikochav musharim al harayos," and therefore, when it comes to the shnios, we're not going to go as far as aserik. So Rama paskins in Hilchos Yisurim Bia Perik Yedalit, din Torah shemutar la'akum sheyisa imo or achosa meimo shemizgayru. The halacha would be that min haTorah a non-Jew became Jewish, if someone became Jewish, there's no longer the issa that existed before. However, Chachamim asru davazek kedei shelo yomru, so that may not say banam b'tusha chamur b'tusha kala she'emesh hoisa lo zu asura v'hayom uteres. So now, if you think about the context of this idea, we really don't understand how the Rambam could parallel that idea in the case at hand of a ger. The Rambam is saying he should not be mevaza his father who is non-Jewish. Why? Shelo yomru banam b'tusha mugdusha kala. In the case of the Gemara, there was a real prohibition for the ben Noach, and now suddenly that prohibition doesn't exist because he's reborn. He's no longer related. So that we say you have to maintain the same standard. But if you assume that a ben Noach is not commanded kibud ave'en, so how does the Rambam use that logic to apply it to the case of a ger, showing respect and not to show disrespect to his parents? And what does it mean? After all, Ben Noach, we thought, is not Mitzvah Kibbutz Aveir. Rabbi Akiva Eger, back to Source 9, implicitly is asking this question. And he comments, he quotes from the Sefer of the Poras Yosef, which is of the Prima Gadin, and he says, Hainu ben Nimu Sehem. When it says Banu Mikdusha Chamura in the Rambam, it doesn't mean Kedusha Chamura in the literal sense that they had an Isser, they had a mitzvah of Kibud Ave'en as a non-Jew, and now suddenly it disappeared. Rather, Bini Museyam, this is something that was adopted by their own standards. It's not the Torah imposing the mitzvah, it's just something that's considered to be common courtesy. So if this is how they were practically acting, and now we tell them, you can become Jewish and suddenly you don't have to worry about honoring your parents, you don't have to worry about acting, spitting in their face, so to speak. That is something which is inconceivable. So according to Rabbi Eger, this is not a formal principle that we find in Yevamos. The Rambam would almost be borrowing the idea and simply using it to shape the halacha, but not really in the same sense as we saw it in the Gemara in Yevamos. That's how Rabbi Akiva Eger apparently would explain the Rambam's usage of this phrase of Shelo Yomru, as we saw, Banu Mikdusha Chamura Mikdusha Kala. However, there are others who take it a step further. This I didn't put for you in the sources, but I'll read for you. On the same page as the Mekiva Eger in the Shulchan Aruch, you have the Yad Avram, one of the Mefarshim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, and he adds the following. He says, he quotes the Kasha that he asked by a Sefer, Beis Hillel, I believe, is the name of the Sefer. He says, he asks, the Oshayach Loma came back out the Erva. The Gam Kodem Geirus Hayuasuvin. Mashaykh, the Kabbat, the Loma Tzino, the Bnei Noach Mitzuvin, I'll say. Dr. Rabbam used this logic. So he answers, the Afa Gab, the Loch Hashib, Bahadi Zayin Mitzvos. It's not part of the formal Zayin Mitzvos. Nikomakom Matsinu Shenenshu, Bnei Noach Alze. Cham Ubanav, Shulokibe, the Noach Aviv, as we find in the Medrash, Rabbah Pashas Noach. And he says, since we find that Bnei Noach are held accountable for not showing respect and disregarding the dignity of their parents, so therefore we can also apply the rule of Lo Yomum Banim B'Gisha Chamura B'Gisha Kala. Now he doesn't elaborate. He doesn't actually say that a Bnei Noach is commanded. And obviously on some level you can say he's formally commanded because it's not part of Zayin Mitzvah. What he does say is that they're punished. So exactly what does this mean? Are they commanded? Are they not commanded? How can he be punished if you're not commanded? How could Yaakov Bino be punished for 22 years if the Bnei Noach are not commanded unless he was Jewish at the time? Which is a separate discussion. So there are some indications in a number of sources we'll now see that Bnei Noach are indeed mitzuveh in Kibbut Aveh. For example, the Ibn Ezra on the Pasuk in Parshas Kisetse discussing the Yafas Torah. So the Torah says that she should mourn her parents, es avia ves ima yerach yamin, before she can become married to the Jewish soldier. Then she has to first go through the process of mourning her parents. So the Ibn Ezra says, l'fi daiti, source 15, shechayif kol adam b'shikul hadas. Those two words need to be explained. It is every individual person, every human being is obligated based on what the mind would dictate. To show honor to their parents while alive and afterwards. Rabbeinu Bachye echoes that idea. He says that Ha'adam Yischayev, at the end of the source, L'chabed Aviv V'imo B'chayim Gam La'achamisa. What does it mean? And the words of the Ibn Ezra were b'shikul hadas. What does this mean? What kind of a halacha is it? We also find in Surah 17 that Avram Avinu is told to leave his birthplace, his land, his father's house, to go to the land that I will show you. Just before this pasuk, we have the Torah telling us about the death of Terach. Terach died in Haran. If you do the math, you realize Terach didn't die yet. Terach died at age 205. Avram is now the age of 75. He was born when Terach was 70. So Terach is alive for another 60 years. The Torah closed the book on Terach to make it appear that Avram Avinu left Haran after Terach passed away. So the Medrash picks up on that and tells us, among other things, toward the end of the source, that Hashem says to Avram, because Avram is concerned about how it's going to look, that he left his old father, you know, in his old age, and he went off. Hashem says, "L'cha ani potercha mikibud aveim. I exempt you from kibud aveim. I won't exempt anyone else, but I exempt you." Again, seemingly there's some kind of an obligation that he's being exempted from. In what sense is he mitzuveh? If he's not mitzuveh, how can he be mitzuveh at the same time? There is a fantastic comment of Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon in his Hagdama to Shas. You'll find this in the Masechta Brachos in the beginning, a long couple of pages introduction to Shas by Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon, and tucked away there you'll find the following sentence. Ki kol ha-mitzvos shehen tuluyin b'svara u'b'uvnesa deliba. All mitzvos that are a function of common sense. Kvar kol mischayvin b'hen. Every human being is obligated in such moral obligations that common sense would dictate. Min hayom ha-shabara u'kim adam al-oretz, Allah ve'al-zara u'dor-dor. In other words, to be commanded doesn't always presuppose a formal tzivoy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be it through Tayag Mitzvahs, be it through the code of Seven Mitzvahs. If your sense of ethics, if your sense of intuition, of moral conscience, of common sense dictates that something is right and something is wrong, that becomes binding for you and for generations to come. This idea is found in other Rishonim as well, beyond the Nisim Gaon. The Chizkuni al HaTorah raises a question: how did Dor HaMabul get punished for their averos? He's assuming that Shemitz B'nei Noach were not formally given until after the Mabul. Chazal darshan these things from Adam, but he assumes that they weren't formally given the Tzivuyim yet, and he says it doesn't matter. He says, Yesh kama mitzvot shechayovim b'nei Adam l'shamran mikoach svaras hadas. There are mitzvot that people have to keep because of the fact that it's simply intuitive. You have to do it. Afal pisho and it's davu aleihem. Gezel, for example, which was the thing that sealed their fate for the Dor HaMabul, everyone understands you don't steal from other people. If you think about Kibbutz Ava'im, and here you have the famous rationale given by the Chinuch, who gives Sharashim of every mitzvah, the idea behind the mitzvah. Kibbutz Ava'im is a perfect example of a mitzvah that you realize it's basic to being a human being, to show respect to your parents. The Chinuch writes, Misharshe mitzvah zu, someone did kindness for you, obviously you have to reciprocate. Not to be an ingrate. The epitome of Kibbutz Ava'im, the Kibbutz Ava'im is the essence of Hakara Satov. And that is a Midah Ra, Umu'usa, not to be Makir Tov, to be a Kafui Tov is a disgusting attribute. And therefore, a person needs to reflect on the fact, Shiyitin alibo ki'av ya'em im siba seyosa ba'olam, why am I in the world? Because of them. And they did all they did for me when I was growing up, and they raised me, and so on. And all the effort that they put in from day one. And when a person realizes that, of course, the person will want to do whatever they could to make it up. We'll get to some interesting points related to this. So you have here a basic idea, an idol that we all have to embrace based on our own intuition. And one could perhaps argue that in that regard, B'nai Noach are commanded in the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ava'im, not as part of a formal mitzvah of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, but in terms of the larger idea of what makes sense, what your mind tells you is right, is often right because of that alone, and that becomes binding for you. Let's return for a second to the Rambam by the Ger and try to understand, so exactly what is the Mixas Kavo that the Rambam had in mind, and what's the basis of the larger picture of this Rambam. So Rav Moshe has a very interesting tshuva in Yoredei Achelut Beis Simen Kuf Lamed. He was asked by a rabbi in Syracuse, this was dated 1962, Tafshin Chav Beis, Ches Tamos Tafshin Chav Beis, about a woman, a Gioras, who has a mother, non-Jewish, who is sick, and this woman has had, in 20 years already, a Gioras, hasn't had much contact with her non-Jewish mother. The mother is now sick, means to say the non-Jewish mother, and she'd like the daughter, the Jewish Gioras, to visit her with the children, no, it's her biological grandchildren. And he discusses this issue in terms of that she should go and what the consideration. Then it gets to the Rambam at the bottom of this page. He says, Levad zeh ha'isa b'Rambam. And he quotes the Rambam that we just read, how a ger is asur l'kalel aviv ha'akum u'la ha'koso v'lo yivazeyu k'dei shelo yomru, that they shouldn't say baru mikdusha chamu mikdusha kala, and v'ifse kein gam b'shulchan aruch. And we noted that the Rambam's halacha is also gepasked in the Shulchan Aruch, but there's one change. In the Shulchan Aruch, the words of the Rambam of Nod will mix us kavo do not appear. We noted in the tour, it sounds like Eino Nod mix us kavo, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention to be Nod mix us kavo. Says Rav Moshe, can't be there's a machlokas that the Shulchan Aruch would say that you're not allowed to be Noig. And I would argue the tour also wouldn't mean that you're not allowed, but you don't have to. You don't have an obligation to do it. But if you do it, certainly nothing wrong. Says Rav Moshe, and you're certainly not allowed to do what's called a bizayim. So what exactly does that mean? Makor lo harambam, next paragraph, lo heviyu hamefarshim. What does it mean? The Gemara says you can't, a ger is usher in the various arayas that he was usher in as a goy because shelo yomru bom gdushachamu gdushakala. But in that sense, you know, that was a real Easter that existed for Ben Noach. We don't find that a Ben Noach is mitzuvah kibud avein. And he quotes the Yad Avram that we mentioned. And he says, well, the Torah punishes Bnei Noach for doing things that are disrespectful to their parents. And he brings up Yekiv Eger, that all it means is Bnei Museyan in their own way. That's what they did. They kept Kibra Ve'em as a protocol. Says Rav Moshe, L'chei Neo Nizdaiti. I'll tell you what I think the Pshat is. Next paragraph. Dehu Me'inyan Isser Kafri Tova. There is a Isser to be Kafri Tova. And we find Hashem is critical of people who are Kafri Tov. Adam HaRishon is a Kafri Tov by blaming Chava for eating for the Eitz HaMitzadas. And Klal Yisrael are called Kfuyei Tova. And this quote-unquote Isser, to be a Kafri Tov, is something which is Aser Bein Yisrael, Bein Livnei Noach. Af Shalom Matzinu Zeh BeHalavin the Yisrael, we don't find this in the 365 Lavin to be a Kafri Tov, nor do we find it among the seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach, it's Aser Be Kafri Tov. And that's because we don't find in general Isurim in the Torah Mifurashim explicit regarding Midos Ros, even though we know that it's absolutely forbidden to have terrible Midos, and you can be punished for that, whether a Jew, whether a non-Jew. What is Kibud Aveim? Shelo Yiyeh Kafri Tova, as he quotes the Gemara to that effect, the father, the mother are responsible for bringing you into the world. That is the essence of Kibud Aveim. And therefore, we understand what the Mikzas Kavod is all about. What is Mikzas Kavod? What's the standard? Where do we look? You want to look at Vehilchos Kibud Aveim in Shulchan Aruch, you see, what does it mean exactly? Machil, Mashke, Machnis, Motzi. The Rambam gives you this very amorphous obligation. Noheg bo Mikzas Kavod. What does that mean? How does it translate in terms of the actual standard? Says Rav Moshe, I'll tell you what I think. What is the Shiur? Anything that doing less than that would deem you, would label you, would make you be perceived as a Kafri Tov, you're absolutely forbidden to do anything short of that. You have to maintain a standard that people recognize this is appropriate Akaras HaTov. Anything that people wouldn't say, that's beyond the call of duty. So that would not necessarily have to be required of a person in a case like this for a ger vis-a-vis their parents. And that's the definition of, again, the noig bo mikzas kavod. And therefore, Moshe says, certainly this individual should go to visit her mother. In general, she should go from time to time, bring the children, it's basic hakaras hatov, be concerned that the children not be influenced in any negative way, if there's any concerns, be protective of that. But obviously, hakaras hatov demands nothing less than that. Rav Avadya Yosef had a tshuva. I don't have the whole tshuva, but I'll give you the question and the answer, and if you want to look it up, it's a very long tshuva, and he goes into this in length. But the question was asked, if a ger should daven for his non-Jewish parent who is sick, make a mishaberach, say tehillim, after the person passes away, the parent, should he say kaddish for non-Jewish parent? Rav Avadya Yosef concludes, yes, absolutely. Ager tzedek rashoi lispalel v'refuas aviv hanachri b'cholyo v'gam rashoi lo makadish olav v'acha p'tiroso v'ilui nishmaso. That's, and who had in the aim, Ager tzedek as well. It's a fascinating tshuva which is worth reading. With the time remaining, I want to step back for a second, again, and look at it in the following way. What we have here, on the one hand, is, you could say, something of a commandment, but in a different sense than we usually think about mitzvot. A non-Jew is commanded in Kibud Aveim, but based on Hakaras HaTov, based on Mishlechkeit, But we also have a mitzvah kibud avim based on the Torah. Now, the Torah is Drachei Darchei Noam, of course. And the shorish of the mitzvah, as the Chinuch told us, is Hakaras HaTov. So what really differentiates the mitzvah, so to speak, of kibud avim based on Hakaras HaTov, based on Menschlichkeit, and the mitzvah in terms of the Torah? Is it just a detail here and there, or is it really a fundamental difference? On the one hand, the idea of kibud avim being something which is sichli, and it's so appropriate for every human being to relate to this idea. The Maharal, Miprag, in Tiferes Yisrael, source 23, elaborates repeatedly on the idea of the sichli aspect of kibud avim, the intuitive aspect of it. He says that's something that Bnei Noach naturally connect with. That's why they're held up.
The kibud avim as in the first five.
Yeah, that's also interesting. It's a major discussion. Mechas Chinuch as well. It's sort of a bridge between Benam Mokum and Machavero. But the Maral says on one level it's very much sichli. The Maral says further in Source 24, when he discusses the mitzvahs of Mara. Remember, the first time Bnei Yisrael received Kibud Avim as a mitzvah, it was given in Mara, together with Shabbos and Dinim, along with the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Now, the Maharal has a unique shita about the nature of the Mitzvahs of Mara. I had a chance on other occasions to deal with this at length. The Maharal assumes that the Mitzvahs of Mara were not yet Mitzvahs of Torah. They were Mitzvahs like B'nai Noach. And it's a different concept. There are Mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, and there are Mitzvahs of Torah. Kiddushas Yisrael, and the Mitzvahs of Mara, just like we know that the Semes B'nai Noach were there for them in Mara, as they were before, the additional mitzvahs were also of the same type. So the Shabbos of Mara wasn't yet a Shabbos of Torah, of mitzvah of Torah. The dinim of Mara were dinim like B'nai Noach, and so too Kibud Avim didn't yet rise to the level of being a mitzvah of Torah. What does it mean? So let's turn to the Netziv. The Netziv has a fascinating introduction to the Chafetz Chaim Sefer called Avas Chesed. The Chafetz Chaim wrote a whole sefer about, besides of course Chafetz Chaim, Hilchos Lashon Hara, he wrote many svarim. He also wrote a sefer about Hilchos Gemilas Chasadim. The Netziv wrote an introduction to this sefer, source 25. And he posits the following. Gemilus Chasadim is Kiyum Ha'olam. Gemilus Chasadim makes the world round. Olam Chesed Yibane. If you are a human being in the world, you have to believe in Chesed. And this is why, you know, everyone understands that to act with Chesed is appropriate. Therefore, Umos Ha'olam are Mitzuvim al Gemilus Chasadim. And this is why Anshei Sodom were destroyed. The Rishonim already say things along these lines. Anshei Sodom were destroyed because, as the pasuk says in Yecheskel, Yad Ani Be'Evyon Lo Herzika. They didn't. They were anti-welfare. They stood for the opposite of Chesed, and therefore they had no basis to remain in the world. Says the Netziv, but we also know that the Torah gives us mitzvos that also dictate chesed. Hechazakta bo, in kesef talves ami, to lend your fellow Jew. And even though there's already a pre-existing obligation, if you will, for any human being in the world to engage in chesed, based on chovas ha'adam la'adam, because this is how a person should act in the world, we are also commanded mitzad ha'Torah, beyond that which exists based on common sense. Nafka mina bazeh, says the Netziv, turning to Kibud Avim. And he has a shot in the pasuk. Leman yarichun yamecha. Alo adam asher shemekach nosin lach. Why mention the schar of arichas yam alo adam asher shemekach nosin lach in connection to Kibud Avim? Every mitzvah, you could say, has the harachta yamin. As we know, even Shiluach HaKein has, which is a light mitzvah, has the harachta yamin. Says the Netziv, Baha Kosev Lamdenu, in the third line of the last paragraph, that even though Kibud Avim is a mitzvah shedas ha'adam no sein la, it's dictated by common sense, and even, again he reiterates, Gam umos ha'olam mitzuvim aleha b'chobas ha'adam, based on this new category, this paradigm, put chobas ha'adam, non-Jews are also commanded in this, and they get schar as well. Mikol makom tzivanu hakadosh baruch hu ba'aseres hadvarim. Notice he says in in Aseres Hadibas, not in Mara. Lehazirenu mitzad chukei haTorah levad cholas haAdam. That we should be bound by this mitzvah based on the Torah statutes. Vanafgamina, he says, first of all, is l'inyan schara, regarding the reward. Chukei haTorah, all laws in the Torah, even those mitzvahs that are not directly linked to Eretz Yisrael, they're not tuluyos ba'aretz, but they are a different mitzvah if they're performed in Eretz Yisrael. This is famous of the Ramban, he quotes the Ramban, a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael is a different mitzvah, even if it's tefillin, even if it's a mitzvah that's not tuluyos ba'aretz, it's a different mitzvah worthy of different schar. And therefore, kibud av va'em, because it's a mitzvah of Torah, it's connected to al ha'adam asher shem kacha nosim. That's where the Torah emphasizes the land. Further nafkamin, if it's a mitzvah of Torah, which is chukis, not just based on hakaras hatov and common sense, therefore there'd be a nafkamin. L'mashal, he says, a non-Jew has a child with a Jewish woman. This son has a mother who is Jewish and a father who's not Jewish. Who gets priority in terms of showing respect?
The mother.
The mother, who is Jewish, has to get priority. The father is non-Jewish, has to get some measure of kavod in the sense that he's still the father and he did what he did, but meanwhile this child has hakaras hatov to the father too. But hakaras hatov is an equal, the mitzvah, kibud eim, that exists because of his relationship to the mother. And here you see perfect nafkamina by the Torah saying it's a mitzvah chukis, not just based on what your mind would tell you. Rav Schwab in Parshas Yisro says something along the same lines. He elaborates, basically with according to the Netziv, but he says, Chutz min atzivoy l'Yisrael, kabel tzadicha, yeshna mida tova, shal kibud av va'em gamkein. Everybody has that, v'nei noach ha'chayavim aleha, but the difference is, ha'chiluk, ben ha'chiyuv shalahem, shehu mitzad ha'mida, V'achiv shalonu shu mitzad ha-mitzvah hu jekom ha-basis shal ha-mida tova shal kibud horim hu ha-karas ha-tov. The main ha-karas ha-tov comes for the fact that they not just brought you into the world, but also continued to put effort out to raise you, to mechanech you. Suppose the parents did nothing but brought you into the world, and then they abandoned the child in the street, and other people went and raised them, adopted, the child was adopted, whatever. So what's the relationship of the child to their biological parents who did nothing except brought them into the world? So you could argue, well, kibud av va'em, in terms of hakaras hatov, okay, there's some hakaras hatov because they brought you to the world, but after that, they did absolutely nothing. So, yeah, so you would argue there shouldn't be much in the way of hakaras hatov, but in terms of the Torah's mitzvah being kibud av va'em, they are your parents and you owe them the kavod. Certainly the hakaras hatov dimension is in every way present vis-a-vis those parents who did all they did.
Who adopted you.
Who adopted you. But basically, here you see how there are two tiers. There's the tier of kibud av va'em as hakaras hatov, as you know what seichel ha'adam would dictate, and that also has a certain measure of tzivui in it, but then you have the Torah taking it to the next level. Rav Yeruchim of Mir, the Mashkiach in the Mir in Europe, has a number of shmuzin where he discusses the notion of Derech Eretz Kadma La Torah. And the old question is, you know, which came first, and in what sense does Derech Eretz precede Torah, in what sense is Derech Eretz reinforced by Torah? Because after all, so much of Torah reflects ideas of Derech Eretz. Now the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos kind of puts it both ways. An Ein Torah in Derech Eretz, main Derech Eretz in Torah. So then which came first? But the answer is, in some ways, they are mutually reinforcing, obviously. But Rabbi Yeruchim phrases it in an interesting way. He says, in effect, you know, what I'm really asking you is, when we fulfill Kibud av va'em, and for that matter, any mitzvah that you can relate to on a very visceral level, intuitive level, are we ignoring the intuitive dimension and saying, look, I am only doing this mitzvah because of the Torah? If the Torah says to give tzedakah, so I'm not supposed to feel for the plight of the ani, I'm just doing it because I'm a robot, and the Torah says to give tzedakah, or does the Torah want me to feel, obviously, for the person in need? Obviously, we recognize that the Torah embraces the intuitive component as well, even if the Torah frames it in a different way. The basis of the obligation is the Torah, but the Torah takes everything that existed before it and made that part of mitzvah. That's why Shomer Shamitzvah Kibbutz Ave'im does have Hakaras HaTov. So Rabbi Yerucham Nimir says, Achar Matan Torah, Shenitna Torah Neschat Shehalacha, Na'asu Chiyuvei Derech Eretz, Shehem Devarim Shaseichel Mechayvan, Gam Hein Mechelkei HaTorah. So it's not that the Torah went in its own direction, and you know there's two tiers, and they're basically separate, never shall the twain meet. There's Derech Eretz for the Bnei Noach, and we might have that too, and then we have a mitzvah of Torah. The Torah co-opted, if you will, the entire notion of Derech Eretz and made that part of the system of Torah. And now he says, why do we fulfill the mitzvah, Mekabel HaTorah, En lo esek klal b'shmiras Derech Eretz? Now we look at the mitzvah through the prism of Torah, which already, you know, took the Derech Eretz component and brought it into the world of Torah. So now your focus has to be the mitzvah, the tekef reishisohu chiyuvei haTorah. Zos omeres shebevchinas haTorah haisa hisagus lebchinas Derech Eretz. From the perspective of Torah, there was a certain elevation to the Bechina of Derech Eretz, Sha'aderech Eretz hisromen, v'hisala midargas Derech Eretz, v'nichnas gamhu Bechinas Torah. It's very lofty ideas. V'zel ma'ash omul chazalim ein Derech Eretz ein Torah, ein Torah Derech Eretz, sh'mohuso shel Derech Eretz misgale, ach v'rak al yidei ha-Torah, kemen sh'ra'inu sh'nis'ala Derech Eretz v'nase Torah. So the Torah has in it the dimension of Derech Eretz, but the prism now for everything is that of Torah. But of course, Derechel Darchei Noah. So the Torah has to reflect Derech Eretz, but we don't look at it in the same way as, for example, a Ben Noach, who looks at it purely from the realm of Derech Eretz, and we have to take it from the perspective of Torah. And that's why there could be Nafka Minas, as we noted with the Nesiv and the Shuab, where one could certainly see that the Derech Eretz doesn't seem to fit as well over here, but the Torah has the mitzvah nonetheless. But even in the majority of cases where the Torah has the Derech Eretz, the basis of obligation has to come through the prism of the Torah. Yes?
In the Gemara, you quoted a Lamed Aleph contribution. So Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel contribution, you also find this in Chulim, that Bob Lamed Aleph, Kash,
yes. Yes. Okay, this could be taken, you know, as a whole other shiur, which for another occasion. We should all be zochet to fulfill and to embrace all the mitzvahs of the Torah on all their levels, and we should be zochet to the prophets of man, Yerichon Yamelcha, Adam Hashem, Shevachacha, No Simlach.